Satan will come in with doubt. And you'll have people that will come in with all kinds of negative things against you. But you don't have to really believe them. What we need in our lives, and Job needed, is the peace of God. And if you have the peace of God, how can you get bummed? When you really have the peace of God and you know God is in this and God is going to take me through this.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our series in the book of Job, and we're glad you're with us. As Roel considers Job's response to excruciating loss, you'll be encouraged to hold fast to God in your trials. The Lord sees you in your suffering, and He isn't deterred by your hurt, confusion, or even anger. You can honestly share your feelings, looking to Him for strength and a renewal of your faith. We'll begin today in Job chapter 2. Here's Roel Reese.
Job is really tested to the ultimate extreme, where in one day he has four tragedies. And now all of his children are gone. All of his flocks are gone. He's bankrupt. And there he's standing. It says in verse 20, and then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on his ground to worship. And then he said, naked I came in my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job not once sinned nor charged God with wrong. Imagine that. Never charge God wrong in one thing. Naked I came, naked I leave. The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jehovah God. You would think, wow, what else can happen? Well, chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, Satan, from where have you coming from? It's not that God is ignorant. He knows what's going on, but he wants him to answer, keeping him accountable. So Satan answered the Lord and said to him, from going to and fro through the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you ever considered my servant Job? That word consider, it's a military term used of a general standing on top of a hill, looking down on the enemy and planning and strategizing how I can take my enemy on, how I can get to them. That's the word is here. Have you ever considered or strategized on my servant Job? Notice that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man. Thirdly, one who fears God. And four, one who hates evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, and although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. You know what I see here? I counsel a lot of people, and one of the things that I always wonder about is that when people backslide, I mean, why would a person backslide after something happens to them as a Christian? Do you think that it's going to be better without God? I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of stupid if you think about that. Oh, you know what, God, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to go back to the world and do what I used to do. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try it again. See what happens. You can't succeed. You can't prosper. Believe it or not, you're going down the tubes. Fast. And yet people do it all the time. And yet it says here that Job stayed blameless, upright, fearing God, and hating evil. Losing his children, losing his camels, losing all of his flocks and everything that he owned, except for he and his wife. And yet he never cursed God. There will be a time where you and I will be tested. And yet, because we don't lose our confidence in the Lord and we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says the Lord sustains us. Yes, God has to try us. He has to try your faith to really see what kind of a foundation you have. He wants to know if you're really real or not, just as gold is tested. It's really important. I believe Job believed that with all his heart. Because watch this. This is amazing. Verse 4 says, "And so Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, yes, and all that a man has, he will give for his life.'" Notice that. Satan tells God, notice, that the reason Job hasn't cursed him is because God puts limitations on it. You draw the line, you protect him too much. That's why he loves you. You know what's amazing is that God has promised us that he will give us strength to bear our temptations when we go through them. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. No temptation is overtaking you that is common to men, but God makes the way of escape for you in every temptation so you don't get messed up. We lose heart. We get into unbelief. We get discouraged. And so here is Satan again, speaking out against Job. Notice this. "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." I'll tell you what, God, you took his children, he's doing good. You took all his money, he's doing fine. But I'll tell you what, no man can stand there when you get them themselves. You hit him completely and fully. Physically get him, and he'll curse you to your face. Really? I mean, think about that. What does God do? "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand.'" I'm glad that's not a period. It's a comma. "Behold, he is in your hand, but," notice, "spare his life." I love that. What do you mean? God's in control of my life, not Satan. Satan can't touch me unless it's by permission. Get that in your brain. When you go through a sickness, when you go through an accident, whatever it is, either God's chasing you or he's allowing it to make you stronger and a better person in your life. Because he wants to use your life. That's why he does it. It's not that he hates you or is picking on you. And Satan, when he heard that, this is so amazing. Because we are protected by God. Man was created with a free will to choose. Verse 7. "And so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." Can you imagine boils? It hurts. But imagine boils on top of your head through your whole body all the way down to your heels where you can stand. And if you sit down, it still hurts. If you lie down, it hurts. And there's no way you can bear it at all. Verse 8. "And he took for himself a piece of pottery with which he scraped himself from his head in the midst of the ashes." He was itching so much he was scratching all over the place. "And then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you still believe in God? Do you still love God?'" I mean, what kind of a wife is that? "Why don't you curse God and die, Job?" Imagine that. But I mean, here is poor Job and here his wife. And what's the first thing that the enemy does? He puts doubt in our minds. Doubt in our minds. But Job answers. Notice this. Verse 10. "And he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I mean, just because we're Christians, should we not suffer? No, Christians do go through stuff like everybody else. Like everybody else. We get headaches, we get stomach aches, chicken pox, everything. And yet here, Job understands. Notice that here Job was righteous. In all these things, he submitted to God. And what did he do? He silenced Satan. Silenced Satan. Oh man, I love that. What could Satan say? Shoot, you know? I can't believe Job. What is it going to take? Now, watch this. Here it is, verse 11. And now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and to mourn with him and to comfort him. I mean, people hear that you're sick, they come to the hospital, they visit you. They come to your home, they visit you. You go, oh, how nice. You know, they love me. Verse 12. Now watch their reaction here of Job's friends. And when they came, they raised their eyes from afar off, and they did not recognize Job. They lifted up their voices and they started weeping. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. Notice that. Because of the condition Job was in.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. It's always our joy to support you with life-giving truth from God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to look through our many resources. You can also email Raul your Bible questions and prayer needs. His email address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Let's continue now with more of today's lesson.
Verse 13. And so they sat down with Job on the ground, and for 7 days and seven nights, no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Wow. Can you imagine being in the presence of someone, you can't say nothing? What can you really say to them when they're hurting so much? They started out very well, sitting with him, having compassion on him. But later on, what's going to happen is they start giving their own philosophy. Ungodly philosophy, why Job is sick. And really, you don't need people's opinions. You want to make sure you got God's opinion. Because it can really throw you into a hole. Some people did listen to Job's friends. When they're sick like that, they can put you in a deep depression. If you believe what they're saying to you. Surely you want people that come to you and they're going to give you a biblical scripture to build you up, not to tear you down or not to put doubt in your mind and your heart. Verse 13. As they're sitting down weeping. And so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days. They were all in grief. And then chapter 3 begins here. Now this section covers now the actual cycles and speeches between Job and his friends, the meaning of his friends, including Elihu, all the way to chapters 3 through 37, 24. That's all his friends' speeches. Chapter 3, verse 1, check this out. And after this, they weren't saying one word for 7 days. Job opened his mouth, and what did he say? He cursed the day of his birth. He didn't curse God. He said, I wish I would have never been born. I wish I would have never been born. Job was in deep pain and despair to the point that he said, Lord, why was I born for this day? Verse 2, Job spoke and he said, may the day perish on which I was born and the night in which was said, a boy was conceived. You know how when you're having a baby and they say, it's a girl, it's a boy. He says, I wish they would have never said, it's a boy. The day of my birth. Notice that. He was saying, I wish I could have done away with the calendar when he was born. So I wish they would have never kept the date when I was born. But in reality, it cannot be done. Why? Because he was there appointed according to the will of God. We have to trust God. We have to recognize that God is in control of my life. Yes, when we're weak, when we're sick, we can say a lot of things that we don't really mean because we're emotionally saying them. But we should never, ever curse the Lord because God is there for us at any time. Satan will come in with doubt. And you'll have people that will come in with all kinds of negative things against you. But you don't have to really believe them. What we need in our lives, and Job needed, is the peace of God. And if you have the peace of God, how can you get bummed? When you really have the peace of God and you know God is in this and God is going to take me through this. But here is Job again. This is the beginning. Verse 3. May the day perish on which I was born and the night in which it was said a male child was conceived. And then he says, may that day be darkness. The darkness here is actually used 5 times in this chapter. And it's used darkness, deep shadow, blackness, and thick darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. Notice that. It refers to that darkness he was feeling. May darkness, verse 5, and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Notice Job having a hard time. He says, being honest with God. Then he says in verse 7, notice he continues to personify the night. Oh, may the night be barren or stony. May no joyful shout come into it. Notice that. That is, he's talking about his mother would have never bore him. That's how he's feeling. Why was I born? Why did my mother bear me? May those curse it who curse the day. Those who are ready to curse Labithian, a sea monster, that he's talking about here. Mythologically, they were always talking about Labithian, this monster with 7 heads. But at the time, like with Noah and all these things were going, because the book of Job goes back to the book of Genesis, way back there. We find the name of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible. And then check this out, verse 9. May the stars, speaking of Venus and Mercury, he said, of its morning be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day, his suffering wish. Verse 10, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Speaking again of his birth, notice that. Since he was conceived and born, why couldn't he have died at birth? Why do I have to go through this misery? You ever feel like that? You're with Job. He felt the same way. He's human. He's having a hard time understanding. And it is hard to understand why good people suffer when there's all kinds of evil people that I say, Lord, get them good. And yet, when I look at someone that is righteous, Lord, why them? Why not this person over here? They deserve it, Lord. But God knows. God's in control. He's building character. Verse 11. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? And check this out. Why did the knees receive me? Or why did the breast that I should nurse? Notice, I need to live for God. Why? Because of his purposes. Because there is a day of judgment coming. And we need to remind ourselves of this. If God allowed me to come into this world, and he allowed my mother and father to have me, then God has a purpose for my life. And it's a purpose for everybody. The problem is people don't align themselves with the purposes of God. They want to do their own thing. That's why we get ourselves in trouble. Anytime you move away from God, you're going to be in big trouble. But as long as you're seeking Him and pursuing after Him and staying humble before Him, He will lead you, guide you. When you get sick, He will heal you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. Yes, and there'll be times when you'll be so bummed out that you'll even doubt God, but God is there. God is there. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a promise of Jesus. And we need to tell people that. We need to give them the word of God, not our words, God's word, so they can be comforted. Verse 13. For now, I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. Notice that. He says, if death at birth would have been so much better, but yet God didn't allow it, I would have been gone. And yet this is where people, they take the doctrine here in verse 13, believe it or not, of soul sleep. That when a person dies, you take the body, you bury it, but their soul stays asleep in the grave until Jesus comes again. And then you'll be awakened. That's no such thing. It's only found in the book of Job and the Psalms. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross. The moment you die, you're in the presence of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you're in the presence of Satan in the hell in the middle of the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Nobody goes to sleep. When you die, you die. The body is an empty shell. The spirit departs to be with the Lord or to go to hell. So here again, verse 14. With kings, counselors of the earth who build ruins for themselves, or with the leaders who had gold, who filled their houses with silver, literally saying, I wish I would have never come into this world. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who saw no light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary at her rest. Job is crying out of distress for losing his family. And yet, notice, we cannot make doctrine out of this. Job is speaking out of the frustration of grief. They don't mean what they're saying. They just say it in pain. Notice that. And yet, he says again in verse 18, there the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there. Speaking of death all the way through. And the servant is free from his master. Notice that. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of the soul? Who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures. Literally, he's saying, I welcome death more than gold. You can take me now, Lord. I want to die. Who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave. Notice that. I wish I could die. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden? Notice, in whom God has hedged it. And my, it says, for my sighting comes before I eat, and my groaning pours out like water. Notice that I can't even eat, Lord, of such pain.
If you're going through an extremely difficult season right now, you might be shutting down emotionally or even closing yourself off to God. If that's the case, it's our prayer that Job's experience will assure you that you can safely engage with the Lord in your suffering. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. If you'd like to get a complete unedited version of today's teaching, we'll be happy to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching from Job chapters 2 through 5. To further build your confidence in God's loving faithfulness, we'd like to offer you Rawls' 9-part series titled When Trials Come. It's available on CD or USB. Each lesson illuminates more of what it looks like to walk through the fire with hope and trust in a good and mighty God. To purchase Rawls' 9-lesson series titled When Trials Come, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $23 or the flash drive for just $13. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is entirely listener-supported, and we are grateful for each of our partners. Every tax-deductible gift equips us to keep sharing the truth of God's mighty Word. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll return to the pages of the Word of God to dive deeper into ways that we can serve Him and love Him with all of our hearts. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.